Okay, good evening everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Shari. We are learning just a couple of days away from Zman Matan Torasinu. It's already dark, but I didn't daven my Rakan Sefira yet. Just coming from another shir before this. So just a few days away from Zman Matan Torasinu. It's always a perfect time to learn Torah, especially as we approach Ma'amad Har Sinai and the time of our recommitment and reacceptance of the Torah upon ourselves, B'ezer Hashem. So we are learning L'Zeich Nishmasim Lilu Nishmasim Miriam Fron, Miriam Baschai Mitzak, Allah HaShalom, Even Hashem Merit a continuous Aliyah, B'ezer Hashem, the Zchus of the Torah that we will share together this evening. And of course, we continue to thank the Fron family very, very much for their unwavering commitment to these Divrei Torah that we share, L'Zeich Nishmas, their mother, Allah HaShalom. Just a calendar change, okay? I'm going to announce it again, but I'd like to give a heads up. Listen for June, please. And this is on the recording also, so for the people who are listening online. Okay. There's shir this week, B'ezer Hashem shir next week. June 15th, I'm not able to give shir. I have a conflict, and I try never to have a conflict. So if I have one, it means I really have one. So instead of June 15th, Wednesday, that week, we have shir Tuesday, June 14th, okay? Tuesday, June 14th, we have shir. I will send a reminder. I'm giving, you can't hear? Why did someone say she can't hear? Esther, you're saying you could hear? The other people are saying they could hear. So the person who said she can't hear, it has to be on her end. The other people are saying they could hear, Baruch Hashem. Okay, so going back to my calendar announcement. June 14th, we have shir. I will send a reminder. That's Tuesday. No shir, the 15th. And then the last week in June, June 29th, is the Shari dinner. So we're missing shir that week. Okay, so the schedule for June is as follows. June 1st, that's tonight. June 8th, June 14th, June 22nd. And then no shir the last week. I'm going to keep announcing it. I'm just reminding you all in advance. Or I'm telling you in advance, and I'll keep reminding you. Okay, welcome back, everybody. Welcome. Brucha haba'ah. I'm glad you're feeling well and able to join, Baruch Hashem. Okay, so we are going to continue our learning Erev Shavuos. Here we go. So we are in the middle of talking about last time we had what I thought was a truly incredible. I was very excited. We spoke about Lachacha and Bichukosai and Bichukosai Teilechu. And the final climax of Shir was Yitzchak. The name Yitzchak is Yod Sadi and then Chok. Wow. Torah is just amazing. So we're talking about the fact that we have two Yetzers. We have a Yetzer HaTov and a Yetzer HaRa, and they are in conflict with each other. And at Tzadik, the Yetzer HaTov is stronger, and in Arasha, the Yetzer HaRa is stronger, and they are in conflict with each other. So I'm still on page 258. We've been here for a number of weeks. I don't know where this farm is. No, we're downstairs because they're doing construction upstairs. So right now we're just, they're going to listen. I don't know where they are. Okay? So the truth is that man's state before the sin is not only a matter of the distant past, okay? That state as well is potential in each one of us. So potentially we all could be like man before the source sin, which is pure, one Yetzer, the Yetzer Tov. Or we could be like Rachman al-San, man after the first sin, which is, you got the sound, okay, Baruch Hashem, which is now we are sinful. And the Medrash Bereishis Rabbah says, and I've been trying to get to this Medrash for like a month, but some other limudim keep coming up. So tonight we're getting to it, because that's where I'm going to start. The Medrash says, Tzadikim, their hearts are under their control. They've worked hard to plant their trees in a world of goodness, at Tzadik, but there's one branch that might incline towards the side of evil. So they have a small Yetzer Hara, the Tzadik, one branch that might incline towards the side of evil, and they have to restore that wayward branch to the side of good. But the Rasha'im, says the Medrash, their hearts are not under their control. A Rasha, a wicked person, is under the power of his Yetzer Hara, Rasha, Reish, and I, and there's the word Ra right there, and they must struggle with each negative desire and restore it to the side of goodness. So the Medrash that the Mechaber, the author, is quoting, I am finally going to open inside. Here's Medrash Bereishis Rabbah, and I'm going to tell you what the Medrash says, which is what our author quotes. They're very, very large Sfarim, the Medrashim, so I have to move things around here. Okay, so the Medrash says as follows. The Medrash quotes a pasuk from Perachov Zion of Bereishis. Perachov Zion is when Yaakov dresses up in Esav's hairy hunting garments and he gets the brachos from Yitzchak. Then Esav comes home and he's very angry and father gives him a blessing. But then Esav famously says, Vayistam Esav es Yaakov, and Esav hated Yaakov, ala brach asher bercho aviv, over the blessing that his father blessed him. Vayomer Esav bilibo. And Esav said in his heart, Yikruvu Yimei Eva Avi, the days of mourning will come close for father. V'ahargas Yaakov Achi, I'm going to get rid of my brother. I have so much kibbut of aim. He did. He excelled in kibbut of aim. So, by the way, that's why Rav Steinman, Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, this is brought down in a sefer by Rabbi Zecharia Wallerstein, Zatzal, and Yibedal L'chaim Tovim V'aruchim, Rav Shimon Finkelman, a sefer on Kibbut of Aim. Rav Steinman has a very compelling ha'ara, as I mentioned, Kibbut of Aim. He says that that is why Esav, Rome, we're in Galus Romi right now, we're in Galus Esav. That's why Esav has the upper hand, because that chus of Kibbut of Aim is so powerful that it trumps our zechuyos. So that's brought down in the sefer. It's called Honor Them, Revere Them. Okay, so Esav says, Billy Bo, Yikruvu Yimei Eva Aviva Hargos Yaakov Achi, I have Kibbut of Aim, so I'm not going to kill my brother while my father's still alive, because how will that feel for a father? But when my father dies, I'm going to kill him. So the Medrash says, and this is the Medrash that our sefer quotes. Here we go. Harisha'im birshus liban. The Rasha is under the jurisdiction of his heart. Our school's translation is, the wicked are controlled by their hearts. Like the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Perik Yudalit, Amar Naval Belibo. What's a Naval? So when I was preparing this, I realized I wrote it in my own handwriting. If you come look at it, you will see the Ramban tells us in Parshas Kadosh, in Perik Yates, Alti Naval birshus HaTorah. Should not be Naval birshus HaShoah. You shouldn't be disgusting, degenerate within what's permitted by Torah. In fact, my daughter called last night. It was like 6:45, and she's an Eretz. So I said, Tamar, we were in the middle of dinner. I said, why are you up? She said, we're studying for finals. She says, I just have one question. What's Naval? Mamish, what's Naval? So I said, oh, Naval, it's like degenerate. So she says, what's degenerate? So I had to look it up online to give her the exact translation. It means immoral, unethical, having lost the moral. So Alti Naval B'Shus HaTorah, don't be a degenerate within the parameters of what's allowed by Torah. Don't be immoral, even though it doesn't say somewhere in the Torah how much steak you're allowed to eat. Eating too much excess is being a Naval B'Shus HaTorah. So the Medrash quotes the Pasuk from Tehillim, Perik Yadalid, Amar Naval Belibo. The wicked one says in his heart, Ein Elohim, there is no God. He says, where Belibo? So this is the proof, the Medrash says, that Harishan B'Shus Liban. The wicked are under jurisdiction or control of their hearts. Should be vice versa. Your heart should not be controlling you. You should be controlling your heart. Your emotion shouldn't be in control. You should be in control of your emotion. And then the Medrash says, Vayomer Esav Bilibo. As proof of this, the Medrash quotes that pasuk from Perak Chav Zayin. Esav said, Bilibo. Then it gives other examples. Vayomer Yeravam Bilibo. This is from Malachim Aleph. Yeravam said also Bilibo. If the people will go bring offerings in the temple, they will kill me and return to Rechavam, the king of Yehuda. So he was the king of Yisrael. But the point of the Medrash is Vayomer Esav Bilibo. Vayomer Yeravam Bilibo. Vayomer Haman Bilibo. And Haman said in his heart, Lemi Yachput Tamelech. Lemi Yachput Tamelech. I forget the words. Vayomer Haman Belibo, Lemi Yachput Samelech Lasos Yakar Yosher Mimeni. What does the Rasha say? Belibo, he says in his heart. So we see three examples, Esav, Yeravam, and Haman. The Medrash says, Harisha'im B'shus Liban, which is exactly what our Sefer quotes. The wicked has to struggle because their Yetzer Hara controls them. The Medrash then contrasts that with the Tzadikim, Avala Tzadikim, when it comes to Tzadikim, Liban Birshusan, their heart is under their control. So the Rasha, whatever his emotions tell him to do, now emotions are not always correct, he's going to do it because his heart's controlling him. The Tzadik, on the other hand, is controlling his heart. Avala Tzadikim, Liban Birshusan, but when it comes to the Tzadik, they are in control of their own heart. And now, just like we have examples of Rasha'im, who heart controls them, we have examples of right were in control of their heart. V'chana hi midaberes al liba. That's, of course, from the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, when Chana is davening for a child. Chana midaberes al liba. So she is talking on her heart. Not she is birshus her heart, but rather her heart is birshusa. Vayomir David el libo, from also Sefer Shmuel. David said el libo, to his heart. So who's talking to? The heart's talking to David, or David's talking to the heart? David's talking to his heart. And finally, Vayasim Daniel al libo, from Sefer Daniel. Daniel placed a resolution upon his heart. Domin libaran. So the Medrash says they resemble their creator. Vayomer Hashem el libo. Hashem said after the flood, Lo ashuv ada hashchis es ha'adam. So Hashem speaks to his heart, kaviyachal. So you see the tzaddikim speak to their heart. Esav, Yeravav, and Ham. Esav, Yeravam, the wicked king of Malchus Yisrael, and Ham. Esav, Yeravam, and Haman, their heart controls them. But the Tzadikim, says the Medrash, Liban Birshushan, they control their hearts. The proof is from Chana, David, and Daniel, and they are Dome the Borei Olam. So we have an explicit command to be Dome the Borei Olam in Masechah Sot Yudalad and in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Gimel. We have to emulate our Creator. Okay, but there's a footnote. I've told you this before. The Art School Medrash Rabbah is excellent. It's the format of the Art School Gemara, but they have many beautiful insights on the bottom from other sources. This is a very, very unique chiddush and interpretation of this medrash. So the medrash at surface value is very nice. That is what our Sefer is expounding upon. But here is a much deeper meaning. The profundity of this midrashic passage, so it's really a very profound medrash, but on the surface it just seems to be a nice medrash that tells you the Rosh is in control of his heart and vice versa by the tzaddik. The profundity of this midrashic passage is highlighted in an essay by the Alter of Kelm, Rav Simcha Zisel Ziv, Zchus Yagalin Eleinu. The Alter of Kelm notes the great insight of our sages in discerning the slight difference in Lashon. Listen again, because you know we always say you have to pay very close attention to the Lashon of Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. Carefully listen. I didn't notice it either until I saw the inside of the Altar of Kelm. So I'm going to emphasize it so you're going to notice that there's a difference. When it comes to the Rasha, Amar Naval Bilibo, Vayomer Esav Bilibo, Vayomer Haman Bilibo. When it comes to the Tzadik, or Tzadik, as Chanam Edvers Al Liba, David is El Libo, Daniel is Al Libo, and Ribon Shalom is El Libo, Kaviyacha. One is Bilibo, those are the Rishayim. They are already in their heart. You're already sunk into the pit of mire of giving into your emotion. The Tzaddik or Tzaddikis is... What was that?
People on the staircase.
Oh, thank you. The Tzaddik...
Can I close the door?
Is there a door? Oh, but they're coming down. I think it's okay, Rivka, because they're coming down. They're coming down. It's okay. But thank you very much. The tzaddik is El. What is, I'm speaking to you. I'm not you. I'm not in you. I'm separate from you, and I'm speaking to you. So look at the gavus of the Lashon. One letter, Bilibo, or El, or Alibo, is not the same message. One is already sucked in. He fell into the pit. He's Bilibo. The other one is external. So going back to the inside. So you see, again, you know, something I stress all the time, especially more in my Chumash classes, but I stress it here too. Like last week, we had a whole shiur based on the Lashon of the Psukim. Lechecha, Gematrias, Bechukosai, Teilechu, Yitzchak. You must look so carefully, not only at every narrative in Chumash, and not only every parak, not only every pasuk, not only every phrase, but mamish, every letter. There's a difference between Bilibo and Al or Elibo. What's the difference? A difference is a Rasha or a Tzaddik. So Rav Simcha Zisel Ziv, the Alter of Kem, Suscho Yagin Eleinu, notices the slight difference in the scriptural phrasing between Bilibo and Elibo, which could easily have been misconstrued to be identical notions. If you're not paying close attention, you think it's the same thing. No. The Midrashic differentiation between the wicked, the Rasha'im, who are controlled by their hearts, and the righteous, the tzaddikim, who are in control of their hearts, is more than a simple choice to abide by, to overrule their innate desires or not. Rather, since the human heart, and by the way, when we talk about heart, we all know, understand this doesn't mean literally biologically, okay? Because everyone knows emotion is not controlled in the heart. The heart is to pump the blood and to bring oxygenated blood and to get rid of the carbon dioxide blood. But even in English, we'll have the alfalfa of dos, excuse me, there are expressions, you broke my heart. I love you with all of my heart. So hashkafically, we understand that the heart is the, hashkafically, the where the emotions are controlled from. And a person's emotions are not always positive. Last night, I was sitting by my computer working. My desk is in the kitchen. You know, some kitchens have like a small desk to the side. So, I was sitting. So my husband came into the kitchen and he looked at me. You know, Baruch Hashem, he knows me. So I was just sitting there. He said, "Are you okay?" So I said, "I want to say something and I'm trying not to say it." And he knew just from looking at him. But I said, "Yeah," I said, "I'm trying not to." Baruch Hashem, I did not say it. He said, "It's so hard. Because your heart," and what was I thinking of? Esty Klein, are you here? Esty, what you taught me on Monday has helped me the whole week. I can't stop thinking about it. I'm going to teach it in Shemir Salashon class, but that's in 2 weeks after Shavuos. Esty emailed me Monday morning to tell me she heard, wait. Before you speak, you should wait. This is a real, it's a Shemir Salashon example of what we're talking about. Who's in control? Does your heart control you, or do you control your heart? Before you speak, you should wait. Wait stands for, why am I talking? W-A-I-T, why am I talking? So Esty, my husband looked at me, said to me, "Are you okay?" I didn't say a word. I said, I want to say something and I'm trying not to say it. And what I was thinking of is what you tell me, and I've been thinking about it a lot this week. So before you talk, she thinks to herself, why am I talking? In other words, and it really stops you. Okay, halavai, I should continue to have it in mind. But the point is, who's controlling who? If your heart's controlling you, you're just going to say it. And if you're controlling your heart, you're not going to say it. Since the human heart is naturally inclined, says the altar, to lead one astray with minor temptations that ultimately drag him into more severe violations. We know Chazal tells in Pirkei Avos Beferush, mitzvah goreres mitzvah, but avera goreres avera. So you do a small, you're over a small, I'm putting small in quotes, avera, and what ultimately happens? You find yourself in a pit of averos. One is bound to succumb to his base instincts if he lets down his guard even momentarily. It's a battle of a lifetime. Recognizing this, the wise and righteous person will constantly be vigilant against his heart's desires, even if he seems far removed from these types of temptations. So the tzaddik might think, this doesn't affect me. Excuse me, I have no problem with this. I don't have to be on guard. What happens the minute you let down your guard? He moves in. The Rashi tells us, Kisese, I think it's in Parsha Shoftim. Rashi tells us that they would commission uprighters to stand at the back of the Jewish army. It's pretty interesting, Rashi. To chop off their legs. People weren't allowed to run away. I don't understand exactly. I'm not getting into it. People were not allowed to run away from the battlefield. I'm not talking about the Yerach Levav or the person who just had a vineyard or a new house guy. But Rashi says a line there that's so a truism. I shouldn't say like a line. Rashi teaches the emes of Torah, which is Techilas Nefila. Techilas, nefila, nesia. The beginning of falling is running away. The beginning of the downfall is the moment you run away. When you start to run, that's the devil. The minute you give away, the minute you start to retreat from the battle lines of the Yetzer Hara, that's the beginning of the fall. That's the minute he moves in. Recognizing this, the what? Techilas, nefila, nesisa. The beginning of downfall is running away. Recognizing this, the wise and righteous person will constantly be vigilant against his heart's desires, even if he seems far removed from these types of temptations. Such a person, in his vigilance, speaks to his heart. Such a person will speak to his heart, for he is on guard against his desires. By contrast, a simpleton is overconfident in his ability to withstand desires. He lets down his guard and he speaks in his heart. And once you're speaking in your heart, quote, you have fallen prey to the evil inclination. Only by, last line, this is from Chachma Umusar of the altar of Kelm. Only by maintaining control over one's heart can he hope to defeat the evil inclination. Extremely powerful. Let's go back to our sefer, which I know you don't have, but I'm just going to, I'll read it. I have to ask, I don't know where they are. Oh. Okay. This is the constant struggle between the soul and the body. The soul seeks to do the will of the Creator, but the body has its own physical interests. That's 100% true. We see in society that there's a struggle between the body and the soul. No soul wants to self-destruct, becoming an alcoholic, or becoming a drug addict, or becoming addicted to food. No soul wants to self-destruct. It's not, they don't want to self-destruct. What's the problem? There's a constant battle between the soul and the body. And you see from our society how strong the body is, that so often those physical desires, because a person is already Billy Bo, but the body is its own physical interest. Where did this all come from? Adam HaRishon's sin. Because what did he do? He took what was forbidden, something physical. He ingested it. The Yetzer Hara for physical desires moved in. Adam HaRishon's soul before the chait, before the sin, his soul was dominant, meaning ruchnius. But afterwards, the soul became hidden and the body became dominant. And it's so true. It's what you see in society. If you would ask, you know, Bezav Lev gives a mashal. He says, if you would ask somebody, you know, take them to the Salvation Army, he gives this mashal, and show them like torn, you know, Salvation Army torn jeans. And you ask them, would they want to wear, like totally ripped, more rips and frays than fabric, would you want to wear these jeans? So they would say, no, they're a piece of garbage. Why would I want to wear these jeans? No one wants to wear these jeans. And then you take them to, what's that, Rodeo Drive, is that what it's called? Yeah. And you take them into Versace. I don't even know, do they only make jewelry? They make clothing. I don't even know what I'm talking about. You could tell. Take them into a very fancy store, and you show them ripped jeans, and they have a designer label, and they cost $1,500. And you say to them, would you like to wear these jeans? Of course I want to wear these jeans. These are the most stylish jeans. What has happened to us? The physical desires, the emotions of the body have taken over from the soul. If we could but think on the level of the soul, of course we wouldn't want to be involved in these things. Of course we wouldn't want to self-harm by all these physical pleasures, and I'm putting that in quote, that society casts upon us. But the problem is after the sin, they both ate from the Eitz Hadas. The hearts of the tzaddikim, therefore, are under their control because their neshama radiates light and is in control. But the wicked, quote, have no control over their hearts because the body rules over them. This reminded me very much of, I think I've shared before, about a few years ago, I think, I don't even remember this class or not, but I think I did, Lot, okay? Lot, back to Sefer Bereishis, Hafuch Bava, Hafuch Bava, you see last week we were in Bereishis, everything's in Torah. We just read in this past week, Pirkei Avos, at the end of Pirkei, Hafuch Bava, Hafuch Bava, Dekula Ba, turn it over and over, because everything is in it. So when we go back to Lot, we see this pattern. I'm quoting from the Sefer Bereishis by Shmuel Golden, unlocking the Torah text, Bereishis. He points out something fascinating about Lot. Lot begins as Avram Avinu's nice nephew, and he's a good person, and he goes with Avram, and he keeps his mouth quiet. Let's talk about weight. Why am I talking? He keeps his mouth quiet. He gets rewarded for that, by the way. Okay, he doesn't say, when Avram says, this is my sister, Irmina Achosi At, Lot doesn't say anything. When they part ways, after he was immersed in the Gashmistic environment of Egypt, and in the pagan hedonistic ways of Egypt. Now, oh my gosh. Sorry. I did that a few times already. Now he comes up and he's a different person. Not the same person anymore. Now they have to split ways. Before, Avram's shepherds and Lot's shepherds were having no problem. Avram and Lot were having no problem. There was no machlokas, their family. Avram adopted him when his father jumped into the Kibshan Eish. Vayamas Harna, Pnei Terach Aviv. There was no problem. What happens? He goes down to Egypt, which is a Gashmiistic, physical, self-gratifying, gaivadic society, and now Lot has changed. So he parei namai erlai, they have to split ways. If you go yamin, I'll go small. If you go small, I'll go yamin. Ana tihi meriva beinu veinechem, beirai beirecha. We shouldn't be quarreling, me and you, my shepherds and your shepherds. So Lot lifts his eyes and he sees the kol kikar hayardin, kikulo mashka, v'nei shacheis Hashem estom, and it's beautiful land. We've been to Eretz Yisrael. It's beautiful and it's lush, it's overflowing, it's green. And he knows that the people of Sodom and Amor are very wicked. Everybody knows. The Pasuk says, Perikid Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel. I believe that the Anshei Sodom are Raim v'chataim la'Hashem, and both Rashi and Unkel say they're wicked and sinful with their body and their money. They're not good people. And yet Lot chooses this place. The first time it tells us he chooses this place in Perikid Gimel, Lot knows it's a bad place, okay? Before, Lot was apparently, based on the Pesukim, he hadn't sinned yet, he was in control of his heart. But what happens after? Vayahel ad Sodom. That's what it says. Lot chooses Sodom, and he tented in Tol Sodom. Perikid Gimel. That's very strange. What does Vayahel ad Sodom mean? The next time in Perikid Dalet, when we're told about Lot, in connection to Sodom, the Pali comes, and he tells Avram HaIvri that his nephew was captured. And what does the Pasuk say about Lo? Eva Pali veged Avram HaIvri kinish ba'achi ve'lo yoshev bistom. Ah. Vayomer Haman bilibo. Vayomer Esav bilibo. Vayomam Yoravam bilibo. Before it was Ad Sodom. Ad means you're not there. You're in Tol, you're at the border, but you're not there. All of a sudden, Lot is bistom. And finally, the next time it tells us about a Lot, that's exactly right, in contrast to Sodom, it's in the beginning of Perikut Tes, when the Balachim arrive in Sodom be'erev, v'hu yoshev b'shar Sodom. Now, if you've ever been to excavations in Eretz Yisrael, we were just in one this past Pesach, and it was their summer 2019, to a different one. The gates of the city are very important. The gates are Rus. Everybody sits in the gates to witness Ploni Almoni saying, I don't want any part of this, and Boaz's marriage to Rus. The gates are where everybody important sat. Everybody entered and exited through the city. The Beis Din and the Zakenim, the prominent people sat in the gates of the city. Lot goes from being Ad Sodom, where he's still separate from Sodom. He's there, but he's not in Sodom, to being Bistom, to being Bishar Sodom. And what does Rashi say? That day, Minu, what that day he was appointed? chief court justice. He's the head of Beis Din now. Says Rav Shmuel Golden, look at the subtle change in the lashon of the pasuk. Lo thought he could just tent until the border and not be affected. It's beautiful. It's pasture land. It's green. It's lush. I'm just going to go to the border. But my neshama won't be affected. He wasn't sinning before that. We don't see any problems with Lot before he goes down to loot Egypt. We don't see any problems before he becomes very rich in Sodom and Bakar. There's no problem. But then he's immersed, not by choice, in a Tumadic society of Egypt. Something switches. And now when he comes up and he has the whole land before him to choose, he chooses the most prost place. The Anshei Sodom were wicked and sinful with both money and body, say Rashi and Uncas. And he thinks, I'm going to sit at the board. This is Rav Shmuel Golden, Nami Charetz. Okay, you could look up. I'm knocking the Torah text, Bereishit. It's fascinating. It's Parshas Vayera, because Perek Yotes, it's Parshas Vayera. He's going to just sit ad Sodom. I'm out of there. And then he's in Sodom. Vayomer Haman Bilibo, Vahu Yoshev Bistom. And finally, he's the chief court justice. He's the head of the whole city. And he comes to the place where he could offer his virgin daughters to the men who are knocking on the door. How did it happen? Because he allowed his heart to control him and not vice versa. You cannot tent at the border to evil and think you will remain unaffected. One who tents at the border of evil ultimately will become evil himself. Such is the way of the Yetzer Hara. Okay, going back to the Sefer. But the wicked, the hearts of the tzaddikim are under their control because their neshama radiates light and is in control. But the wicked have no control over their hearts because the body rules over them. This is a person's avoda his entire life. It's a whole life of avoda. The work never stops. I was listening to Shir Shmarim Rabbi Zav Lef, and he quoted the famous teaching from Rav Moshe Zatzal. You know this. Rav Moshe says that why did so many Yidden become lost after their parents came to America? I'm not good in Yiddish. But because the father would sit down at the Shabbos table Friday night after a whole week, and he would say, yeah, say it in Yiddish. Right, it's schwer zu sein a Yid. It's hard to be a Jew, and they would let out a sigh. So it's famous teaching of Rav Moshe. I'm sure you've heard it. And the parent sits down and complains how hard it is to be a Yid. So the kid says, why do I want anything to do with this? I don't want it. It's such a hard life. So Rabbi Zev Lev says, what's going on here? It is hard to be a Jew. She said, what was the father saying wrong? He lost his job every Erev Shabbos. And they didn't have 3 fridges and 2 freezers. They didn't have food abundantly flowing. They lost their job because they didn't. So he sat down and he said, it's hard to be a Jew. What's the problem with saying that? Avoda Hashem is called Avoda. You have to work very hard at Torah. We just read, this is a person's avoda his entire life. So what was so wrong with what they said? So Rav Zev Lev said, what the proper thing to say is, it's true. Sometimes it's hard to be a Jew, but it's well worth the efforts because the rewards are boundless. Because he said something very interesting. I'm not going to quote who he said, even though it's on Torah anytime, so anyone could hear it. He spoke about a certain performer for children. And he said that this performer for children makes everything seem easy in Avodas Hashem. And the child hears that everything is easy and everything is fun and mitzvot are wonderful, Rabbi Zev Lev said. So now that's what the child hears. And now he comes to mommy and he says, after fleish, etc., an ice cream cone. And mommy says, I'm sorry, you can't have an ice cream cone. You have to wait an hour, or depending on his age, 3 hours, or maybe 6 hours. And the kid says, that's not fun. I was tricked. I'm quoting Rabbi Zev Lev. He says, I want an ice cream cone now. It's not fun to wait 3 or 6 hours for an ice cream cone. I want to eat it now. I was tricked. What's the problem? He was taught that mitzvahs are fun. Rabbi Zev Lev said, and if you think that the hardest mitzvah is waiting 6 hours to eat an ice cream cone, there are many mitzvahs that are much, much harder than waiting from fleishiks to melechik. And if you ate aged cheese, melechiks to fleishiks, there's things that are much harder. So what's the problem? If we say that Avodas Hashem is fun, it's the wrong approach. Im b'chukosei teichu means to amela, but it was about shir b'matan Torah, but it means to accept the Torah. It's hard to do the mitzvahs. It's easy to fast on Yom Kippur for 26 hours. Of course, we want to. But it's not physically easy to deny your body of food for that amount of time. As I said, there are many mitzvahs much harder than waiting for an ice cream cone. Oh. Very nice. Okay, 1 second. I'll get to that in a minute. We were there from yesterday, I'm pretty sure. when he gave Moshe a goodbye. Okay, 1 second. Very nice. 1 minute. So I'm going to tell you the comment in a moment. No one knows it, not even the people on Zoom, because it was a direct message. I'm going to share with everybody in a minute. So Rabbi Zavav said, when the children listened, and he said about this performer, I know this man. He's a very nice man. I have nothing against him. But he said, you can't teach children that mitzvahs are fun. It's not correct. They're not fun. He said, you must teach them that even though it's difficult, it's rewarding because the schar is boundless and elevating. And ultimately, living a life of Avodas Hashem is the most biggest schus and schar we can have. Quote, this is a person's avoda his entire life. That means your entire life. You have to think, wait before you speak. Your entire life, that Yetzer Hara is still going to be there. To say something even though you know you shouldn't say it. Your entire life. This is a person's avoda his entire life. So Esti Klein just said, add something very, very nice for Beseches Brachos Samech Dalet. Amar Rav Avin Halevi, Hanifter Mechavero Al Yomar Leich. Very nice. Al yomor lo leich bishalom. Very nice, Esti. Beautiful. Wow. The first thing you taught me this week was wait. Now this ties in perfectly this year. I'm pretty sure they're reading it from Yisrael. Okay. When Moshe comes and he says he's going back to Egypt. I'm going to check that in a second. Okay. Oh, it is. That's what I said. You just put it there. Or was there before and I didn't see. Was there the whole time? You just put it there. It is from Yisrael. Okay, Baruch Hashem. So here we go. Haniftar mechaver, one who takes leave of his friend, al yomer lo leich bishalom. Oh, very nice. He shouldn't say leich bishalom. He should say leich lishalom. That's right. And that's exactly right. And I thought that where I thought it's for, correct. It is where I thought it was from. And I'm going to show it to you on the screen because I need to look it up for myself anyway to quote the exact pasuk. But what I thought was Baruch Hashem, where it's from. When Moshe goes back to Yisro and he tells him, listen, I have to go free the Jews. So let's see what Yisro says to him. Can you see him in Shmos Perek Dalet? Yeah, okay. So finally, Moshe doesn't want to accept the mission. Hashem becomes very angry at him. Shemos perek dalad pasuk yod dalad. Yichraf Hashem per Moshe. He has to go. Okay. Vayerech Moshe perek dalad. Look carefully. Perek dalad pasuk yod ches. Vayerech Moshe vayav el Yasser chosno. Moshe goes and he returns to Yasser, his father-in-law. Another name for Yisro is Yasser. Vayomer lo elchana. Listen, I gotta leave. Thanks for having me. The hospitality was wonderful. Elchana, please can I go? Vashuva el achai, I have to return to my brothers, Asher ben Mitzrayim, that are in Egypt. The era ha'odam chayim, I have to see if they're still alive. Vayomer Yisrael Moshe leich lishalom. Very nice. Perek dalet pasuk yiches. He didn't tell him leich bishalom. We're going to encounter a lot of difficulties on your mission. And he does. As soon as he gets there on Parakeh, already Paro says, make the work harder, no teven, you're lazy, gather your own straw, why are you here? The people screaming at Moshe, why did you come here? From the time you came here, it's been worse. Moshe screams at Hashem, why did you send me here? So you're going to encounter a lot of difficulties, but perhaps Yeshua was giving him a bracha, leich lishalom, the whole time on your mission, despite the difficulties you will encounter, do not let your emotions overrun you and overtake you. Very nice. Not leich bishalom. Don't let yourself be pulled in, but rather stay objective if you can, and then you will always be going to peace, and you will always be in control of your emotions, and not vice versa. Isn't it true? You know, let's say you're taking a trip. I don't know. Like yesterday, I'll give you an example. Yesterday, I had to run an errand in Farakwe. And whatever, something I fit into my schedule. Baruch Hashem, don't really have time, but we make time. And when I came out of where I was for an hour, it was 98 degrees real feel. It was 1:30 in the afternoon, and I had to go to the grocery, and I had to get something for my son, Amazing Savings, and then I had to come home and make supper, and I had shiur last night, and I had a flat tire. Like a totally flat tire. Like no air tire, not drivable. So Baruch Hashem was okay. My husband was local. My son works local, so they came to rescue me. Otherwise, we would have just called, what do they call it? Chavirim. But it was all the extra time, standing in the heat, boiling hot, whatever. So what happens? You could be easily become frazzled. Say Hashem, I was going to do a mitzvah. I said, shluchay in mitzvah in a nezikim. But then I told myself, you were a nezikim. Baruch Hashem, it was the car tire, and it was nothing else. Okay, my husband came, they filled out there, they drove to the station, we need a new tire. Okay, it should be a kabara. My point is that sometimes it's very hot and you're pressed for time and you're frustrated and I just came out of doing a mitzvah. Why is this happening? You could get very frazzled. That's giving into your emotions. So on any journey in life, Esther, I really like what you said. Any journey in life, it's always like Lishalom. You have to remain external to your emotions to remain in control of your emotions. That's really nice. Thank you very much. The lashon of the Gemara is Amar Rabbi Avin Halevi Haniftar Mechavera Al Yomer Lo Lech Bishalom Ela Lech Lishalom. Okay, Sharei Yisro Shamar Lo the Moshe Lech Lishalom Allah Vahatzliach. Because Yisro said to Moshe Lech Lishalom, and Moshe's mission ultimately was successful, which, by the way, not only does this Gemara relate to Bir and Lib, but also relates to Ma'amat and Torah Seinu, because Yisro was saying, Moshe was saying to Yisro, I have to go after free the Jews, and where am I taking the Jews after I free them? To Matan Torah. I'm going to take them to Matan Torah. Very, very nice. Okay. David, who said to Avshalom, Lech Bishalom Halach V'nitla. But David HaMelech said to his son Avshalom, go in peace. Avshalom was not successful, and ultimately he was hanged. Okay, very nice. Thank you so much. Going back to the Sefer. This is a person's avoda his entire life. So Rabbi Zavlev says it is not easy. We should not say it's fun. Certain mitzvahs are nice. Certain mitzvahs are fun. But certain mitzvahs, realistically, it's difficult. It's hard to be an Eved Hashem. I think if someone thinks they're easy to be an Eved Hashem, they're on the wrong program. It's hard work. So a person's avoda his entire life is to leave the body and return to the soul. So obviously we don't mean your whole life. You should literally be trying to leave your body and return to the soul. We try and preserve life at all costs. But a person's avoda's entire life is to leave his body and return to the soul, and thereby, so less focus on the gashmias, more focus on the ruchnias, and through that return to the pristine state of Adam before the sin. This is a very fundamental concept because we must understand the root of evil and focus on our avoda. So this reminded me of something in this week's parsha, okay, that we have to leave the body and return to the soul and go to the state pre-sin, and this is the entire avoda. This week's parsha is Bamidbar. Bamidbar is always read Erev Shavuos, okay? In Eretz Yisrael, it's the week one before. In Chutz La'aretz, it's now. It's Mamish Erev Shavuos. There are many reasons why we read Bamidbar Erev Shavuos, okay? Many reasons, but the Pasuk tells us, so Bamidbar Sefer Pekudim, the Book of Counting, the Pasuk tells us, Su'u es Rosh, we once discussed this here, I'm almost positive, but it was a long time ago. Su'u es Rosh called us B'nei Yisrael Mishpachosam Leveis Avosam, but Mispar Shemos Kol Zachar the Gogolosam. Should take account of all of the assembly of Israel for their families or father's household according to the number of names, every male the Gogolosam. Does anyone remember what we said? I quoted Rabbi Sacher Fran. I am almost 90% positive we quoted in this year. The Gogolosam, so it means according to their head count. It's a strange word that occurs a number of times in Chumash. Another time you see it is by the man. By the man in Perek Tazayim, when it falls, how much man does everybody get? An Omer la Gogolas. Omer for a head count. On an Erev Shabbos, you get Shtei Omer la Gogolas. That's exactly right. Okay? Sefer Bamidbar, says Rabbi Yisachar Fran, opens with Hashem charging Moshe Rabbeinu the task of counting the Bnei Yisrael. The Gogolosam, according to their head count. Rav Menachem Azariah of Pano, the Ramami Pano, writes, the word the Gilgalosam sounds a lot like what word? Gilgal HaNeshamos. Okay? The transmigration of the soul. So the reason when I was reading this, it's Parshas Bamidbar, but Parshas is always in my mind, and I read that the whole tafkid of a person is to leave physicality and return to the soul. The Ramami Pano writes, the word the Gilgalosam refers to an esoteric concept of Gilgal Neshamos, the transmigration of souls. He explains Moshe Rabbeinu did not simply count the people who were in front of him, the 600,000 men who were there at that time. Shevet Levi has their own count. Through Ruach HaKodesh, says Ramami Pano, he was able to see in the future how many times each neshama would return to this world. And I'm quoting from Rabbi Yisachar Fran. Yes, Rabbi Yisachar Fran, the power of Avar Artskla. Through Ruach HaKodesh, he was able to see into the future how many times each of the neshamas he was counting in the sentence would return to this world. So the Gogolosam is a reference to every transmigration of the soul coming back to this world. So I was thinking, though, that's a connection between Bamidbar and Shavuos. It's Erev Shavuos. Another connection, perhaps, is by the count in Bamidbar, Moshe didn't only count the person who was physically there, he counted every Gilgal of the neshama that would reappear in this world. And we know by Matan Torah, every Jew, all of us, all of our neshamas, also stood by Har Sinai, not just the Jews who were physically there, but every reincarnation of every soul also stood by Har Sinai. So you see, that's another connection between Matan Torah and Parshas Bamidbar, the tafkid of a person to, quote, return to their soul. A soul comes back when it is not able to complete the tafka the first time. When something is lacking, it comes back. Kol zechar the golgolosam, says Rav Mami Pen, is an allusion to this, and says Rabbi Yisachar Friend, that's what he brings down Parshas Bamidbar. But I'm making another connection, which is the connection between Bamidbar and Shavuos, that on Shavuos we all say Nasa v'nishma, every gilgol of every neshama, just like it's referenced in Sefer Bamidbar. So let's just end with a thought, an ode to Inyani Diyoma and Shavuos, even though I really need more than 4 minutes. I thought it would have more than 4 minutes. Okay, so I don't have time to tell you a story of the Book of Ruth, so I hope you know it. I can't do this in 4 minutes, but I'm going to try. Naomi's married to Elimelech. They have 2 sons, Machlon and Kilion. It's four prakim, 4 chapters, very short. Short pshat, not short drash. There's a famine in Beis Lechem Yehuda. They leave to the fields of Moab. Machlon marries Rus. Kilion marries Orpah. Hashem is very angry at the family for leaving because they're rich. They left their destitute brethren behind. Elimelech dies. All the animals die. Machlon and Kilion die. Rus and Orpah are Moabite princesses. Are left with their mother-in-law Naomi. Arpa goes home, Rus clings to her mother-in-law and sticks with her and goes back to Beis Lechem Yehuda. They're very poor, they have nothing to eat. She gleans in the fields of Boaz. Who's Boaz? A cousin to Naomi and to deceased Machlon. He's a nephew of Elimelech. There's a marriage. Ploni Almoni, the closest relative, does not want to conduct a levirate marriage. He doesn't want to stay. He wants the field, but he doesn't want a Moavi. Boaz is the next closest relative and he is going to marry Rus. The principle of levirate marriage is if a man dies and his wife remains a widow and they do not have children, she is obligated to marry his brother or his next closest relative, and the first child that is born is called on the name of the deceased. Is everyone with me? I hope. That's a really quick Megillas Rus in a nutshell. Okay? Very short. So that means Rus's husband Machlon died. They did not have children. She is obligated under Yibum, levirate marriage, to marry the closest relative. The closest relative is Elimelech's brother Ploni Almoni. But he doesn't want to marry slash Tov. He doesn't want to marry her because he doesn't want to embarrass his name and marry a Moavi. That means the next closest relative, a nephew of Boaz, is a nephew of Boaz. Oh, good evening. Thank you. A nephew of Boaz. Thank you. A nephew of Boaz is going to marry her instead. So who's the first child going to be? The first child, the only child, because he dies the day after the wedding, the night after the wedding. Rus and Boaz's child really belongs to who?
Boaz's child belongs to
Machlon.
Machlon.
They're establishing a name for Machlon.
Right.
Uh-huh. Okay? So I really wanted longer, but I don't have. But just listen. After the child is born, there's no more mention of Rus and Boaz anymore.
Right, only Naomi.
There's no mention of Boaz and Rus because they're essentially out of the picture.
But Naomi.
Because a child, Naomi, it says it's her child. Why is it her child? Because the first child born of a levirate marriage goes to the deceased. Who's deceased? Naomi's son. So when they say Yulad ben le Naomi, they tackle me and Yulad ben le Naomi. I just want you to hear what the Malbim says. He reiterates this in 3 different psukim. Yadalit, Tesvav, Tezayin, and Yudzayin. The women say, Baruch Hashem, Eshelo, Hishbislach, Goel Hayom, blessed is God who did not withhold from you a redeemer today, and he will sustain you in your old age. The daughter-in-law that you loved is better than 7 children. Naomi takes the child, she raises it in her lap. She is a nursemaid. The neighbors say, a son has been born to Naomi. A son has been born to Naomi. A son has been born to Rus. And they call his name Ovid. Says the Malbim, Rotzelamar, Masha Nogea El Hayam Tsarich Brachala Shem Shalis Pisach Goel, Kibin Hahu Hanolad Bialad Hazah, your son, who's her son, who died, Machlon, who is born in this child, Binoda Misor Hayibum, it's known from the secret of levirate marriage, Shehu hames ba'atmo. What did the Rambam just say? This child, hu hames ba'atmo. What does that mean? What? He is the child himself. V'hu ha'golos shalach, he is your redeemer. You will not die barren. Listen what the Rambam just said. This child, Oved, who was physically born to who?
And Boaz
is not their child at all, actually. It's not, and that's why they disappear. There's no mention of them at all in the narrative once the child is born. In fact, Boaz dies once his tafet is complete. Who is the child? Binoda misor hayibim shuhu hames ba'atzmo. It's known from the secret of love and marriage. This child is the deceased himself. And that's why they say, Yulad ben le Naami. A child has been born to Naami. Pasuk tesvav. Rotzalamar, listen. Shehu heishivas nefesh machlon shenis el ha'olam hazah. Shehu heishiv as nefesh machlon shenis ela olam hazeh. He, Boaz, became the conduit that returned the soul of machlon for a second time to this world. The nafshohu nefesh machlon bidcha. His soul is literally the soul of machlon, your son. That's the second time. I'm not repeating myself. The Malbim repeats himself. And then the third time, al pizah haisa lolo omenes. According to this, she becomes his nursemaid. Ki hu bina mamish. Who bina mamish? He's mamish, her son. Latisha also emo menesas bina. Just like a nursing mother carries her child, she carried this child. And therefore the Shechino say, Yulad ben le Naami. Ki kain hua emes. This is the truth. So who ben Naami? Sod ha-yibum. I'm not repeating. Look in the Malbim. He's repeating. This is the secret of Yibum. And therefore they call him the son of Naami. His son, his name is Oved, which means work, because the Malbim says in the future he will be an Ever Hashem. But the Malbim repeats three times, known from the Sodi Yibum, Shehu Hames Ba'atzmo, Naf Shehu Nefesh Machlon Bincha, Hu Heishuvis Nefesh Machlon Sheinis Ala Olam Haza, and finally Al Pisa Haisalolo Umenis Kihu Binam Mamish. And ultimately he becomes an Ever Hashem. So what is the person's tafkid in this world? We are all a Gilgal of somebody else. Who? We don't know. We all stood by Har Sinai and said, Kol Shir Dibra Hashem Nasa V'Nishma. We are all counted while we're women. But all the men in every generation were counted by Moshe Rabbeinu, the people there, and the Gilgal of each neshama. It is an avoda. We should not tell ourselves or our children. Now, don't email me and say, Shana, you have a nice time on the Yom Tov and Simchos Yom Tov and certain aspects of Yehadus are fun. I know. But in general, many things in Yehadus and Avodas Hashem are not easy. And if we teach ourselves and our children that it's easy, then when you have to wait 6 hours for ice cream, you think, says the child, I was tricked. They lied to me. It's difficult, but it's the most rewarding avoda in the world, and it's the avoda of a lifetime. Quote, to leave the body and return to the soul, we had a tie-in both into the parasha and Megillas Rus, and thereby return to the pristine state of Adam before sin. Every neshama that comes back has a tafkid to fulfill that didn't come back. So at the end of all the Gilgal HaNeshamas, the world will be brought to completion when everyone fulfills their tafkid. This is a very fundamental concept. We must understand the root of evil and focus on the world. We finished that section. Baruch Hashem, a calendar reminder. I announced in the beginning, but many people were not here.